fuzzy vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone.
Welcome, folks. I am the guest host this evening for Jeffrey Bennett. This is The Edge of Darkness, and he's asked me if I could please do his Tuesday evening show, and I said I would be more than happy to do so. So, folks, you are listening here live to Republic Broadcasting Network. Today's date is the 28th of November, and again, I'm the guest host, Maggie Rose, filling in for Jeff Bennett this evening. You can follow me on Mondays and Fridays at the same time, which is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 7 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, here on RBM with the Concord Hour. Today, a lot has been going on. As you all know, there's been now the fourth group of hostages that have been released. There's been a lot of emotional turmoil regarding that. Because, again, are we surprised? We're finding that the people, the Hamas that are holding our hostages, are not following through with the agreements we made. They're already getting basically three of theirs to one of ours. That has been basically the standard. And that's including the Filipino employee and the people from Thailand that were living in Israel, that were working among the Israeli people that were helping them, that were supporting them, many of them working in the farmlands there, that were also taking hostage. Now, they've been able to identify most of the people that were murdered on that October the 7th. Not all of them, because some of them, they actually went back and they caused a lot of fires. They went back and tried to double make sure that everything was incinerated, so there could be no identification. And part of this is an assault on the Israeli traditions and customs of what the Israeli people believe, that when you pass away, you are to be immediately prepared, you're to be wrapped in a white shroud, and you're supposed to be buried. And they knew that some of the things they did that were so horrific would make the identification of some of the victims very, very difficult. So they're going through a lot in Israel right now. And in answer to some of you who have been responding to myself on my emails, and Jeff is pretty much letting me kind of, you know, do the show anything I want tonight. So I want to take this opportunity. I received some emails last Friday, and again, and last Friday we didn't have a show because it was Thanksgiving. So some people are reaching out to me, not realizing there was no shows here on RBN Thursday or Friday, because our staff, they need to take their Thanksgiving break too. They work hard. They practically live in the studio. And we're trying really hard to make sure that we get some current information out to those of you. So those of you that wrote to me last Friday, like, where are you? And wrote to me this Monday with some of the comments you made. I want it to be understood very strongly, okay? I am not at all, and I want this to be understood, I am not on the side of the Hamas. I am not on the side of Iran. I am not on the side of the Al-Qaeda or the ISIS or any of those monsters that have distorted what Islam was supposed to be all about and have made it instead a very distorted ideology that absolutely makes no sense and has absolutely no respect, not only no respect for their own women, they don't have any respect for women at all, but they have no respect for humanity whatsoever. And the crimes against humanity are very, very, very clear. Now, I want it to be understood again that it's the Palestinian people that I am feeling for. The people that are the innocent Palestinians caught in the crossfire. There's many of them we know that are not innocent. Young men, teenage boys, young women that have committed horrible acts that got them arrested by the Israeli government, that got them thrown in jail and prison. And this is what people are not talking about. I understand that many of these Palestinian teenagers and young men and women were basically brainwashed from the time they could crawl to think a certain thing about Westerners or certain things about people, the Jewish nation. That is not going to excuse the acts that they have committed. It's just saying that I'm understanding that they have been brainwashed by those people that want to wipe out most of Western society, Christianity, and the Jewish nation. When you really go back and study the history, you realize that basically the Palestinians and the Jewish people are originally, if you go way back, cut from some of the same cloth. They're basically distant cousins to each other. And when people said, oh, the Palestinian nation, there has never been legally declared a Palestinian nation. And if you look at the history of what happened since 1948, and you see that the agreements that were made between the Palestinians and the Israelis, you'll see that both sides, both have violated some of those agreements. So when you're looking at the fact that those on the Palestinian side see that the Israeli army or the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, go through their streets, and you're hearing stories of the Palestinians throwing rocks at them or trying to stab them with knives, and you go, oh my God, you know, these people are out of control. These Palestinians are out of control. There's a lot of anger and animosity there. Because, yes, in Gaza, it's the Israeli government that is able to control the water, control the electricity, control just about everything that surrounds the people living in Gaza. Now, I watched something the other day because I'm trying to be the journalist. Okay, I have my own personal feelings, which don't matter. My personal feelings do not matter at the end of the day. I have to try to be as objective as I possibly can be. And I will not make excuses for the Israeli government either. The Israeli government has made some very serious mistakes. They have made some very serious judgment calls. So I'm saying that there's enough blame to go around everywhere, and we need to look at some sort of we have to look through, instead of rose-colored glasses, we need to look at things as being in some cases black, in some cases white. And then also there's sometimes kind of a gray, but you're able to at least see through the gray. When you're looking through rose-colored glasses, you're only going to see what you're told to see or what you want to see, or you're going to have an emotional knee-jerk reaction. But I actually, as a good journalist, have been trying with what little information I can get. And believe me, years ago, Al Jazeera was one that was fairly good news reporting. They're very tainted now. They're very one-sided. I see that. But they are telling the true stories from the viewpoint of some of those who are here in America, born here in America, who became journalists and went back to Jerusalem, went back to Israel, went back to Tel Aviv, and then went into Gaza. One of them is a young woman, and one of these days I will play part of her story, but she's a journalist, And she recently had reported on some things that were going on regarding her own family. But a few years ago, not very long ago, she went to Gaza, and she was already being harassed by the Israeli army, by the Israeli Defense Force, as she was walking through the streets. Now this is what's interesting. She had two people that were her tour guides. Both of these men had served in the Israeli army, in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. They did their, I think it's 2 years they have to do, 2 or 3 years. They did their time. And by the time they got their time, they were able to more objectively see not only what the Palestinians were doing to them, but what they were doing to the Palestinians that was wrong. So they were stepping back, having experienced both sides of the fence, and able to come in the middle and say, okay, these people over here are not blameless, but neither are we blameless. We have, in some ways, actually exacerbated and created more harm in certain areas than we've done good. We've done good here and here, but we've done harm here and here. If there was some way that we could bring the two together, apart from Hezbollah, apart from the Hamas, the Al-Qaeda, the ISIS, and everything in between, and just bring the two groups together to the talking tables. Because I did see, and I played it the other day, where there is a man and a woman. She's Israeli and he's Palestinian. His child was shot and killed by accident from rubber bullets that are not supposed to kill. But rubber bullets, for some reason, were shot by Israeli soldiers and killed his child. And she, an Israeli woman, lost her child. And so here is a Palestinian man and Israeli woman. They're coming together where there's a group that meets on a regular basis that's made up of both Palestinian men and women and Israeli men and women. And they come together almost like you would have a group session, like a grief section. And they've been doing this for years, talking, telling each other stories, trying to find some way where they can meet in the middle and somewhere where there could be peace. Because as she said, this Israeli woman, and as this Palestinian man said, all we want to do is live together in peace. It's the politics of our governments that are causing this. We don't want this. And they even have summer camps, literally summer camps, like going off to Boy Scout camp or YMCA camp or vacation Bible school camp. They have camps where they bring together their Israeli children and their Palestinian children, and these kids live and eat in camp together and spend, you know, like a summer camp, time getting to know each other. This is the only way that we're going to be able to bring up a generation of young people. They're going to try to find a way to world peace. Is it possible? I believe if we could get some of our governments and our governmental egos out of the way, I think it is possible. So here's a woman whose father had lived overseas, and she was born and raised here in the U.S., and she's now a journalist. And so she traveled there, and these two gentlemen that were former IDF took her into Gaza. Now, they weren't really harassed or anything because obviously some of the soldiers there were able to identify that they were Israeli and had maybe even been former soldiers in the IDF or the Israeli army. But as she is there with her cameraman, all of a sudden she's being harassed. She's being harassed by some of the Israeli soldiers. They're telling her, you can't walk down this street. You can only walk down that street. At one point, she's telling the story that what they've been doing is, in the areas that have been set aside for the Palestinian families, these families are literally being kicked out of their homes. Some of them have been in, and their families have been in these homes for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Other Palestinian families have been in these homes for 20, 25 years. All of a sudden, they're being told, no, you have to go because we want to build an Israeli nation, and we have people coming from other parts of the world that are Jewish, whether Russia, Germany, France, the United States, South America, who are Jewish, and we have to have a place for them to live. So we're going to kick you out, and we're going to put them in here. Now, she was identifying these, this Palestinian, American-born Palestinian woman, and these two Israeli, former Israeli IDF. They were identifying these people as being settlers. So Palestinians are being kicked out of their home, and they're being put in ghetto-like situations so the settlers can move into the nicer homes. Folks, these are the things the mainstream media is not going to share with you. I don't know how you feel, but if you have a nice little 2-3-bedroom house, 1.5-bath home, and let's say you inherited it from your parents, who might have inherited it from the grandparents, so you've had at least 2 or 3 generations at any one time living in this home, and now you've been living in this home and you've been raising your children, and let's say you have 3 or 4 kids all under the age of 18 living in this home, and all of a sudden you're told by the Israeli government, you're out of here. We're going to put you somewhere else where we want you to go, and we're going to move in a settler who's of Jewish Israeli background, who's one of those that we've encouraged to immigrate to here to Jerusalem or to Israel. See, for many years, I've been observing the Israeli government encouraging people to come home to their motherland. But when they come home, you have to have some place for them to live. And these are the settlers. And I think that is wrong. To be displacing Palestinian families in order to move somebody into your home who was born or raised overseas. That just is wrong. So as she's going down the street, at one point, one of the settlers, a woman, comes along and starts attacking this young woman and her cameraman, actually trying to hit at the camera, trying to grab at the camera, physically making contact with her and her people. And the former Israeli soldiers that are now the kind of the tour guides say, see, this is what's going on here too. This is the other side that the Israeli government isn't going to tell you. So see, there is blame on both sides of the issue here. Okay? So I'm not excusing the women, Palestinian women and girls and teenagers and young men for being angry. They should not be taking out a knife and trying to stab an IDF soldier or stab somebody in their anger and their hostility because of what's going on. There's no excuse for that. And of course, the Palestinian mothers are saying, well, my kids did no crime. They did no crime. Really? I don't think the Israeli soldiers, as a general rule, would just go through the streets rounding up 14, 15, 16, 18, 22-year-old boys and girls for no reason. At the same time, I understand the Palestinian anger. At one point in the tour through the streets of Gaza, she's showing us where the Israeli government and the IDF have decided there are certain streets in Gaza, you know, where they've been pushed to, that are not allowed to be walked on by Palestinians. Now, Israelis, whether you're military or not, can walk these streets freely. Children who are Israeli or children of the settlers that have immigrated there recently or moved there, they're allowed to play and walk the streets. But a Palestinian family whose front door has access from that street, you have to walk down that street to walk in your front door. You're no longer allowed to be on that street, so you're no longer allowed to access your front door. In many cases, what these Palestinian families have had to do is they have had to put a ladder up to their apartment or their building on one of the back streets that they're allowed to walk on and have to climb up and down a ladder to get into their home. People who are the Israeli settlers being settled into the Palestinian neighborhoods. They're allowed to drive their cars. They're allowed to freely walk up and down these streets. But the Palestinians that have been there forever are not allowed to. I think I can understand some of the anger. I can only imagine that if, you know, my mother was still with me today, that at age 86, 87, with arthritis and disabled, that she would be forced to have to climb up a ladder to access her home from the back, from a back alley or a back way. Because the back of the buildings did not have back doors. Only the front had a door into the building. But you're not allowed to use your front door anymore. I don't know if you would call this harassment. I don't see what kind of security measures that the Israeli government or the IDF has for doing this, but I think it's wrong. I think in many cases that they're trying to make life as miserable as possible for the Palestinians. Children reporting that at one point Israeli children, who are the children of the settlers that have been recently moved in there, would get on top of some of these buildings and throw rocks down into the alleyways where the Palestinian children were allowed to be. And the Palestinian children were reporting in this investigative report that we don't even feel safe in the back alleys of where we are allowed to walk or sit or try to enjoy some sun. Because the Israeli children have been taught to throw rocks on us. The settlers are throwing rocks on us. And so now when you look up with your camera, you see these nets going from one side of the building to another side of another building. So if anybody throws any refuse or garbage or rocks anything down on them, hopefully the nets will catch it. Is this the way for the Palestinian children to grow up? To feel they're going to be hit in the head with garbage or rocks or a boulder? Now again, I'm not making excuses for either side here. And what happened on October 7th was totally unprovoked as far as where this Hamas carried this. Their purpose was to try to wipe out as many women and young girls of childbearing years as possible. Is their way, they believe, of wiping out the Jewish population to cause as much what we call in the military shock and awe. I don't understand how one of the best trained intelligence in the whole world, the Mossad, didn't catch on to this. Our stupid CIA that we should get rid of anyway. How they did not know this was coming. How maybe they should have informed the Israeli government, whatever you call them. How could nobody have known that this was coming? I don't believe it. Something smells really fishy. And I'm not talking about the fish out of the Dead Sea. Something just doesn't sit right with me. We have seen governments before willing to sacrifice their people for what they believe was their end agenda. How nobody could have gotten through the intelligence community any word that something like this was coming down. I don't understand it. I probably never will understand it. It's way beyond me and what we call in the military, way beyond my pay grade. But what I do want you all to know is that those of us that are trying to be responsible journalists, we are trying to hear both stories, both sides of the issue. And we're trying really, really hard to be as objective as we possibly can, because you are not one worthy to be a journalist if you don't at least try to be as objective as you can. Now, believe me, it's sometimes very hard for me. And Jeffrey Bennett and I have discussed this, because we've discussed there's some people here on RBN, they're on Revolution Radio, they're on Liberty Tree Radio, they're on Genesis Communications. There's people that are absolutely rabid, white supremacist, neo-Nazi, skinhead, Christian identity haters. They hate anybody who's Catholic. They hate anybody who's Jewish. They hate anybody who's Mormon. They hate anybody who is Islamic. It doesn't matter. They have their ideology, their belief system, what they consider is the pure race, and only their version of the pure race should walk the earth. And I feel sorry for those people, because God loves all of his children. He doesn't care if they're black, if they're Latino, if they're Asian, Japanese, Chinese, indigenous, Jewish, German, French, Norwegian, Muslim, Islamic. He loves us all. And if Jesus was walking the earth right now and saw all these organized religions, and I'm not even talking about the cults, I'm talking about the organized religions, he'd be very upset. Because he knows darn well that when you have man setting up a religion and a set of principles and rules that your religion says that you have to go by, that's where there's a breakdown. That's where there's control, there's tyranny, there's injustice. You know, why should you have to pay so much money to have your sins forgiven? Why do you have to tie so much money to the church to be considered to be a godly person? That's wrong. That's wrong. That's why so many people are breaking away from organized religion. It's because it's become so mostly man-controlling, but so much controlling. And when you walk out of a sermon, you want to walk out feeling good and positive and uplifted, not feeling like you're the dirtiest, most evil person that ever walked the planet. And constantly saying, well, I'm born again, and as long as Jesus is my Savior, I'm going to be saved. It's really easy to parrot that. Keep saying that you're a Christian, that you're a born-again Christian, that I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then say, well, I'm not perfect, I'm going to make mistakes. Well, yeah, that's true. But when you keep making the same mistakes over and over again, they're not mistakes anymore. So when you keep on saying that you're a Christian, and you talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk, no, I'm sorry. And we see so many ministers becoming rich from their congregations, becoming filthy rich multimillionaires with these mega churches. Because for a few minutes, a few hours, they make their people feel good and positive and walk out of the church. And then the minister goes back to his $10 million home with a swimming pool and 15 bedrooms and 11 bathrooms. While there's people in his own hometown that are starving, living in the streets. Folks, this is Maggie Rose. I am the guest host tonight for Jeffrey Bennett here, The Edge of Darkness. We're going to go to a station break here in a moment. I'd like you to please listen to the ads, and please, by patronizing our sponsors, you're also helping Republic Broadcasting Network to be able to keep us on the air. I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to emotionally charge you. I'm not here to entertain you. This is not a show. I'm here to hopefully motivate you, educate you, inspire you, get you to think a little bit. Think outside the box. And when you do help and patronize our sponsors, that money that comes to RBN helps to keep up the equipment, which is costly, helps keep the very small staff that we have going. They don't even know I'm doing this, folks. I'm saying it now. This is from the bottom of my heart. Please support Republic Broadcasting Network in any way you can, especially as we're going into the Christmas season. Things are getting really tight. I will be right back on the other side of The Edge of Darkness. How does interest come about? You say my opinions are not fact.
Dollar in, a dollar out. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Memories. I remember watching all the James Bond movies, and especially the one Goldfinger. That was a good one. Brings back memories. Thank you for that one. You know, that's one thing Jeff Bennett and I have in common. We love the old movies, the old shows, and much of the music. Today, I have some relatives that what their version of music is this heavy metal screaming and yelling. There are no words. There's no really sensical of what they're saying in their so-called music, but I guess each his own. I grew up in the days with Peter, Paul, and Mary, Herb Albert, and the Tijuana Brass. Oh, yes, and I was just a little girl during the Monkees and the Beatles and all the rest of it, but one of my favorites was my parents. When my mother remarried, he adopted all five of his kids, and he and his mom got into this thing with Peter, Paul, and Mary, and that was one of their favorite groups, and we used to listen to that music all over the house growing up. And then, of course, my Uncle Hugh, when he was no longer doing his Wyatt Earp series, he started doing a TV series. It was called Probe, P-R-O-B-E, and then it was called Search. And later on, that morphed into different actors doing what we call the Mission Impossible series. So, but that was one of my favorite songs of the little girl is Goldfinger. It was an emotional for a lot of young people in those days. They just used to love to listen to the words, and you could hear people singing the words down the hallways of the school. Folks, we have right now waiting in the studio wings, we have one of my biggest fans and somebody that I just am looking forward, hoping to meet one day. Last time I was back on the East Coast again, I ended up being back in South Carolina. I have not yet been to North Carolina for over 35 years. So I want to welcome Frances out of North Carolina. She's waiting to call in here to the studio. Hi, Frances.
Hey, young lady.
Hey, you know, there.
Hey, I have to admit, I have to applaud you on your earlier commentary. Because quite frankly, yes, it's the person known as Jesus, Joshua, Joshua ben Joseph, and so forth, amid the thousand petal of lotus of names that he is known by, quite frankly, he would be ashamed, but he would also be insulted by the hypocrisy that is out in society, and where they get the money to spout this hypocrisy astounds me. But they're able to do it. I find it absolutely amazing. But still, you can generally tell who is actually legitimately of that faith and who isn't. By what means? By what they practice, not what they preach.
Thank you for saying that, because it's been really upsetting to me. You know, there's one guy, and I don't mind saying his name because he's made himself a very public figure. What's his name? Olstein? I think he's down in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Actually, no.
Okay. Well, he's got one of those big mega churches down there, and him and his wife, when they get up on stage, he's got this painted on sugary sweet smile that absolutely makes me sick my stomach. And all I can see is it's like flashbacks of a younger version of Jim and Tammy Baker. Do you remember who they were?
Oh, don't get me started with that garbage.
Well, this is what Mr. I think it's Olstein. I'm probably not. Everybody will probably, especially in Texas, know who I'm talking about. This man has got one of these mega churches, and he is literally somebody that's living in what is like a 10 to 20 million, and I say million dollar mansion. He is living like kings don't even live sometimes. And the thing is his parishioners are like worshiping him like he is Jesus Christ. And I have a real problem with people of any church or religion. I don't care if it's a church that only has 40 people come every Sunday, or if it's one that's has to have two or three services because they have over 2,000 at each service. To worship a person like that and make them that wealthy is wrong, 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 wrong.
That is very sad. For all we know, he's probably wearing lip gloss to make it look sugary sweet. So whenever he spits out words, it's like, oh, this is sugar-coated.
Yes.
Let alone honey-dipped. It's really astounding. The party that I, unless I'm mistaken, what I thought you were probably referencing was the one fellow that, yes, I call him a fellow. I don't call him a pastor, priest, or whatever have you, because that's just being disrespectful for that matter. Is the head of what's called the Crystal Cathedral. And I remember that from back in the 80s. And quite frankly, it was like the atmosphere was that of, oh, you should be tickled and delighted to be here and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, oh, my stars. If that's what that religion is about, I don't want anything to do with it.
No,
and so,
no.
To me, it was very insulting and very derogatory, for that matter. And let's just say that my other half made the comment to me, says, you know, you behave more like a Christian than some of these people that scream up and down that they are. And I said, dear, don't insult me like that. I mean, because
okay,
for one thing, do what?
Go ahead.
Well, for one thing, when I hear people spouting different things and so forth, there's an old adage. walk your walk and not so much talking your talk. And so, well, I'll put it this way. As Joseph and Joseph put it, as long as you do the work that needs to be done, your heart knows the truth, and that's all there is to it. You don't have to yell. You don't have to talk. Do what you're supposed to be doing, and that's all there is to it. That's between you and deity. So keep it to yourself.
There you go. And, you know, RBN, she just put up here, she's right. His name is Joel, and it's Olstein, O-L-S-T-E-N. Joel, J-O-E-L, Olstein, O-L-S-T-E-N. He's out of Houston, Texas. And one of the things, I mean, he was trying to protest that this wasn't true, but I actually have family that live in Texas and friends that live in Texas. Some of them live in Houston. Some of them live in Dallas. And we have a cousin that just passed away not long ago out of San Antonio, Texas. And they're going to be having his memorial service in the near future. And all of them have told me about this Joel and how when they had that big, I guess it was a hurricane or something that came through. Remember when all the streets of Houston were flooded and it was just an absolute nightmare. He would not even allow people that had become displaced, all of a sudden homeless, he wouldn't let them in the sanctuary of the church because he was afraid they were going to dirty up the church. Now, this is a church, a mega church, that you can literally hold 2,000 to 3,000 people or more in one church service. That's how big this place. It's like a big, huge, enclosed auditorium, huge, gigantic, like a huge, gigantic building. I mean, it's monstrous. And he wouldn't allow people in there to even lay their heads at night to get out of the rain, the storm, get something to eat, because he was afraid they were going to track mud or dirt into the building. So, and then he tried to deny this later and backpedal and said, oh, yeah, we were trying to help people. This man, if you want to show me Mr. Joel Olstein, and I hope somebody's listening to this in Texas, especially in Houston, and they have him go back and listen to the archives. Yes, mister, I got your number. I know who you are. And if you really, really, really are the man of God that you say you are, then I want to see you and your pretty little Barbie wife. The next time a storm comes through Houston, Texas, I want to see you bringing a few hundred people into your multi-million dollar mansion and let them swimming in your swimming pool. That'll show me that you walk the walk and talk the talk. Thank you, Fran.
You mean that he claims to be? I mean, that is disgraceful, disregarding, and totally reprehensible. And quite frankly, when people like that do this type of action, they are disrespecting the teaching and the healing that was derived from what Joshua ben Joseph did when he walked the earth, the being walked the earth, and so forth and so on. Here's the reason why. Now, I'm not going to say this is about all Christians, because the people who actually are of that faith, that actually are doing what they're supposed to be doing, I have no issue with. Believe me. But it's the people that are screaming from the rooftops, oh, I'm this, I'm that. I don't give a rat's testicles what you are. your fruit is showing, and believe me, it's dead. Your fruit is dead and rotted. And
Francis,
believe me.
I want you to hold on to that thought. Don't go away, Francis. I want to bring Dan on with you and I. Dan out of Washington, would you please come on the air?
Yep.
Hi, Dan.
Whoa. Hey. All right. Well, I'm one of the racist haters out here, I guess. I listen to Richard Carey and Patrick Slattery. And, if you defend white people, you're called racist. And if you tell the truth about Jewish power, you're called anti-Semitic. So I just go with it. And I'm a racist anti-Semite, so.
Well, I'm sorry for that. But Dan, you know what? We love you, and we will forgive you, and we will keep you in our prayers and bless you, won't we, Francis?
Indeed.
Okay.
We will do that. Because you know what? Someday, I don't know your background, Dan. I don't know how you were raised. I don't know what kind of church you go to. If you listen to enough of that stuff, you're going to end up becoming swayed that way. And it's just another form of brainwashing. And I get that. And like I said, if you don't want to listen to my show or Jeffrey Bennett's show, then you can always turn us off. But I will respect your opinion. I served in the military for 35 years. So you would have the freedom of speech and the freedom of thought that you now enjoy. I would never want to take that away from you. I would defend your right to think and believe any way that you want, even if I think that you're misguided. Even though I think you're misguided. I myself found out not very long ago that my grandmother, my father's mother, when she was growing up, her father was Jewish and her mother was Catholic. So we're talking about a long time ago, okay? And she passed away in the 1940s. But my grandmother was raised by a Catholic mother and a Jewish father, and he died when she was very little. His parents were both Jewish. They're both buried in the United Jewish Cemetery in, I think it's in Cincinnati, Ohio. Both my great-great-grandparents came over. One came from Germany and one came from France in 1830. And they were married by her cousin, who is Rabbi Wise. There's a very large synagogue that is named the Rabbi Wise Synagogue in Cincinnati. And my great-great-grandfather, Isaac, actually made ice. And he was an inventor, but he also made ice, and he supported the Union Army. And his job was to personally deliver ice to General Grant of the Union Army. And my great-great-grandfather, Isaac Marks, was as patriotic as they come. So again, we cannot be attacking people because of a few bad apples in the Israeli government or a few bad apples in the Islamic government. Mm. What we need to do is try to find some meeting in the minds where there's enough room on this planet for all of us and enough love to go around. And so, again, I will keep you, Dan, in my prayers.
Well, that's real. Let me say real quick, though, it's only white countries, and white countries are being forced to have mass immigration. And that's being pushed by a lot of Jewish groups. So it's easy to say all races get along, doesn't matter. Well, you guys obviously have white genocide basically planned. And,
well,
you know, first of all, I was on the Union side, too. I mean, Judah P. Benjamin was Jewish. Most of the big slave owners were. So, you know.
But, no, most of the slave owners were not Jewish. So, please go back. I was a history major in college, so I would like to correct you on that. But I want to say to you, it's not just the white countries like France and Germany that are having many of the Islamic people and the others being forced on them with illegal immigration. My brother is married to a girl who, when I met her, Dan, she had just given birth to my niece, and she was from Mexico. Now, this can show you how wrong you can be, okay? So she's from Mexico, speaks Spanish. Her whole family is generation after generation of Latino or Hispanic. She's a good woman with a master's degree, very smart, intelligent, a good mother. And when I went down to meet her, I said to her, well, you know, probably next month we're going to come to L.A. I would like to come and see you again and meet my niece again. And she says, oh, I'm sorry. She says, my older son Daniel and I are planning for Kevin's bar mitzvah. And I looked at her in shock, and she goes, oh, you're assuming that I'm Catholic, aren't you? Because I'm from a Latino country. And I said, well, yeah. She said, no, I was born and raised in a village in Mexico. The whole village is Jewish, practicing Judaism. And she said, and my first husband, before I married your brother, he was from Iran, and he's Iranian Jewish. So, you know, there's no prejudice in my family. We have a Korean. I have a Korean.
But you're all, there's no prejudice, but you're all Jewish. I mean,
no, we're not all Jewish. First of all,
because if you're proud to be Jewish, don't yell at people for being proud to be white, not Jewish.
Dan, I told you, you're not listening. It was my grandmother's father that was Jewish. I'm not Jewish. In fact, in the traditional of the
Judaism.
But
I'm saying you keep track of it. You're keeping track of who's a Jew.
I'm proud of my genealogy, Dan. I'm proud of my genealogy. There's nothing to be ashamed.
Well, I'm proud of mine. I'm proud of mine, and I'm happy people are proud to be European and white and non-Jewish.
Right, okay.
And that's not called hate.
No, Dan, listen to me.
It's not called hate.
I'm having you on here because we're having a discussion. And I would like to bring Francis in for the last couple minutes of this, but I want you to know that most of my family is Irish, Scottish, English, German, and Norwegian. There happens to be a little bit of Jewish ancestry. That does not make me Jewish, and it doesn't make me ashamed to have a little bit of Jewish ancestry. I am a Heinz 57, and I've got the best of at least seven different cultures, including 300 years ago, my great-grandfather came from England, and he married an indigenous Indian woman in Goose Creek, New Jersey, now called Tom's River after him. So if you go back 300 years ago, I also have Indian background, too. I am proud of all of my background. It made me who I am. Francis, would you like to say something?
Well, for one, Dan, I have to applaud you on your sentiment regarding your beliefs and so forth, because Joshua and Joseph didn't care whether or not a person was purple with yellow polka dots. He loved everyone, regardless of their ethnic background.
Amen.
And for me... As for me, I guess you could say I'm a Heinz 57 to the extent that I've come to discover that in my background, it's European, African, Native American, and there was another part that I am forgetting right now. I can't say my, Asian. So if anything, I would say that I hear this word about being people being prejudiced. That's true. That depends on their upbringing. But do you know something? I cannot be prejudiced against another person. Why? Because to say that is to insult all the different cultures that are in my background. So as a result, I can only do one thing, but what Joshua and Joseph taught was to love my neighbor as I do myself. And I put others in front of myself, except for my family. My family comes first, and then I come into play. But, you know, go figure.
Yeah, but if you defend all these other groups, you're not called, it's hate. If people defend white people, that's called hate.
No, right? You can defend
that's,
white people.
That's the reality. So,
you
well,
can
that's
defend...
what all these people on the station do. And
no,
you're calling
Dan,
them hate other people and all this stuff.
No, Dan, we're not at all saying that anybody should hate whites. We're saying that whites should not hate people of other cultures or religions because it's not what you personally practice. You have the right to practice any religion you want or not go to any church if you don't want to. You have the right to practice whether you want to be a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, a Constitutionalist, or not even be part of a political party. That is the beauty of the melting pot of America. America was what God chose for everybody to come together. This is where everybody.
Well, America was a white Christian country at first until 1965.
Oh, really?
So,
no, took over. It belonged to the Indians before we came here.
No, it didn't. There was no America here before white people got here. There was America.
Dan,
there was no Mexico.
Dan, I'm going to.
I know history. Okay.
Dan, no, I'm
you
sorry.
Don't tell
I was
going
to go back. I
understand the history
Dan,
of Indians.
Dan, I don't want to silence you, and I'll ask Julie to silence you. Let me correct you. I would like you to do your homework. I don't want you to believe what I'm telling you. I want you to do your homework because that shows that you would then be of great intelligence. Go back and do your homework and look up Tom's River, New Jersey. Tom's River, New Jersey. Was where the English and the Dutch and the French started settling when they first came into New York and then they came down to New Jersey. My great-great-great-grandfather, Thomas Luker, came over on the ship called the Fallon from England with his two brothers. He settled on Goose Creek, New Jersey. He settled into the Lenape, which is also called the Delaware Indigenous Tribe. He married the princess of the native chief there. And his name was Thomas Luker. Her name was Princess Anne. Her father was Chief Red Cloud, and her mother was Queen Red Wing. Now, it turned out that the Lenape Indians were here long before we even settled here, before Jamestown, before any white man was here.
I understand Native Americans.
Years.
There was 2 million, but there was no country
years.
Called
Dan,
America.
Dan, I'm telling you, they were here 5,000 years ago. They're the oldest indigenous tribe, Indian tribe, of all the Indian tribes in the United
States. I understand that. It doesn't matter. You can control your borders, and America was always 90% white from then on. So you want to go back 5,000 years. There were ancient Europeans here, too, but know, the 2 million scattered Native Americans here didn't start the country called the United
Julie,
States.
Julie, I would like you to silence Dan for a minute so I can finish this, please. Francis, don't you agree that when the United States said, bring us your poor, your huddling poor, bring them here, this was supposed to be the land where everybody could come and blend together as a melting pot and work and have their own cultures and be able to introduce their own cultures, their own food, their own traditions, and make it a melting pot where everybody should be able to come together. Do you agree?
If I may, for one thing, in the question about whether or not America was known as America at that time with the indigenous Native Americans, it was known as Turtle Island to start
yes.
with. Now, as far as the U.S. being a melting pot, this is true. Otherwise, why would the French give the Statue of Liberty to America and notice that?
Yes,
if it's not a melting pot, then the Statue of Liberty needs to be returned to France.
Right.
With that, in love and peace, y'all take care.
Thank you, Francis. And folks, my indigenous tribe goes back 300 years when Thomas Luker settled on Goose Creek. They renamed Goose Creek Tom's River after my great-great-grandfather, and the tribe that he married into was the Turtle Tribe of the Lenape Indians of the Delaware Indians. And I just want you to know is they are the oldest indigenous that ever set foot on this continent. So Dan needs to go back and do his homework. But Dan, thank you for calling into the show. Francis, thank you for calling in. And folks, this is Maggie Rose. I'll be back with you on Friday at the same time. God bless and have a safe week.
Television takes a stand, and you'll find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed, the human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to war, there is no hope to speak out in the wounded skies above.
Hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.